This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and author of 20 books, including Feminist Fantasies. And now the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Have you heard of Common Core Standards, the new plan being adopted in public schools across America? It's a plan for a national standard to be imposed that will decide what American kids learn and what they will not learn. Parents are really upset about this plan. Nationalized education standards should be unconstitutional under the 10th Amendment, which limits federal influence over the states. The General Educational Provisions Act, a federal law, prohibits any department, agency, officer, or employee of the United States from exercising any direction, supervision, or control over the curriculum, program of instruction, administration, or personnel of any educational institution, school, or school system, or over the selection of library resources, textbooks, or other printed or published instructional materials by any educational institution or school system. Close quote. Now that sounds pretty strong from federal law, a law specifically enacted to severely limit federal control of education. The new Common Core standards do limit local control of education. They are copyrighted and owned by private organizations. Federal dictates assure that 85% of academic standards in reading and math will strictly adhere to Common Core standards, leaving only 15% of the standards eligible to be altered by a local district. For example, Common Core does not teach cursive writing, and if a local school wants to teach it anyway, instead of keyboarding mandated by Common Core, cursive writing would likely use up the entire allowed 15%. Now, we're always being told to get advice from other countries, so how about taking some advice from our neighbor, Canada? Canada has no national standards. All standards are adopted locally, and Canada does not even have a National Department of Education.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Can we send you the latest edition of the Education Reporter? Just write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002 and read about what's working and what isn't in schools across the country and in your community. Write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002 or go online to eagleforum.org. Join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available. Or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day. $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It is Tuesday, October 1st, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. There you will see the names of every single guest that I've ever had on the program since October 23rd, 2010, as well as links to their websites. Just visit the website and click on the radio schedule button. Also, please visit spingolaspeaks.info, a site that one of our wonderful, very talented listeners created. I'm still catching up on my email from my computer crash over the weekend, so be patient if you sent me an email and I have not responded, although I cannot respond to all the emails that I receive. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, spingola.com, or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Thomas Goodrich. He is the author of numerous books. His website is wildwestblogcom.blogspot.com. Today we're going to be talking about a book. It's entitled Hellstorm, The Death of Nazi Germany, 1944 to 1947. It came out in 2010. I think I was one of the first purchasers of that book. Welcome, Thomas.
How is everything?
Very well. And you?
Good. It's a bummer about that crashing computer of yours. Anybody in mind? Did it just fall apart on its own?
Well, it was a two-year-old computer.
Uh-huh.
It was a replacement for the computer that I had previously that the hard drive crashed when it was only 9 months old.
Ouch.
Very suspicious. Very suspicious. This one is only 2 years old, and I got a warning this time that said either repair your hard drive or replace it. And so I tried to repair it. That didn't work. So I took it over to Best Buy. And the guy said, usually people wait too long and they don't, we're not able to save all the information.
Uh-huh.
But,
you know,
so I didn't lose anything.
Yeah, I've had that happen to me also. You know, if you can think back to the turn of the 19th century when people were first going from carriages drawn by horses to automobiles, probably it's very similar to what we're going through right now. I grew up learning on a Royal typewriter, of course, and now I'm struggling along with the computer. And I think until we get to the first generation that has known nothing but computers, it's going to be a lot of this stuff. I'm not going to blame anybody for my cyber ills. I think I'm the chief culprit, quite honestly. I've had more problems, but then again, you know, this thing, it's a beautiful thing. It's a terrible thing, this computer, this cyberspace we work in.
Sure.
You know, it's wonderful because of programs like yourself. I listen to you on my computer, and I'm sure most of the folks out there do. We couldn't do this 30 years ago. We've got the ability right now, alternative radio or revolutionary radio, if you want to call it that, we're a finger tap away from all the knowledge man has ever known. There's no excuses anymore for people pleading ignorance. They don't know what's going on. They don't know about this person or that group, whatever. There's no excuse anymore. You're either with it or you're not. You're either lazy and sitting on the couch doing zero, or you're with us. You're joining us.
Right. Don't know what they don't know. And you know, I mean, how are you going to look up something if you haven't a clue that what the government is telling you isn't the facts? If you get all your information from the television, as you said, that a lot of people do, they get it all from Hollywood or TV or you know, some other kind of perception managing entity, and so some people simply don't have a clue.
You know something also, I throw myself into that category at one time in my life, in my early 20s especially, but I think we're either born with the curiosity gene or we're not. And curiosity is what gets a person off the sofa and plugging in to find out the answer, the truth to something that bothers them. Some people don't have that curiosity gene and they stay on that couch and believe everything the characters in the mainstream media tell them. Fortunately, there's more of us than them, and that's why we're growing and we're going to win this thing. I can see it very clearly now.
Exactly.
It's because of people like you.
Well, thank you. It's because of your books, for one thing. I mean, your book, Hellstorm, is just amazing. It is, like I say, I bought it when it first came out. I heard about it on Michael Collins Piper's program,
mm-hmm.
and I ordered it probably at the minute he said, named it. And
I wish I'd known you then. I would have gladly sent you a copy of that. You know, this book, I think you'll agree with me, and I think everyone who has read this book will agree. This is one of those few books that has the potential to be a game changer.
I agree with you.
Yes, the corner on suffering our Jewish friends have had for this last 50, 60, 70 years, that's going to be over. If enough people read this book and act upon this book, their corner on suffering is going to be over. Because what happened and what's described in this book is so monstrous and so enormous that no matter what crimes are attributed to the Nazis against the Jews, they shrink into almost a molecular level compared to what happened here in the last year and the immediate post-war years to Germany. This is a crime so horrible, and yet it's the crime that, as you will attest, Deanna, it's the best kept secret in world history.
Indeed.
Yes, I mean, who knows about it except perhaps right now a small group of us, folks like ourselves. But honestly, for most people, this is still a very dark secret. They're astounded when they hear about it, and they believe it's a lie. But that's why I'm on your program right now, and bless your heart, that's why you're having me on, so that we can keep the word going. And I want to say this to your listeners, your dedicated listeners. They probably heard me on here two or three, four, five times. I don't know how many times. I apologize to those folks. I will no doubt say some things I've said before, so please bear with me. But I think they would be the first to agree that this bears repeating, and repeating some more. Letting people know
absolutely.
About this and driving it home just like you would a nail through wood. Until people finally get the picture and the message, and then act upon it, do something about it. And for those who have, bless their hearts, who have bought the book and read the book, I encourage them to please pass on the book to whoever you think might gain from it. Many of your friends and relatives I know will not, could not read this book, or would not accept even after reading the book, because it's just too horrifying to know such things. But pick out those people who you think, who has that curiosity gene, who has that bold spirit about themselves, and ask them to read it, and then get their comments. And that's one way we can spread this word.
Exactly. You have been on my program 9 times.
Really?
Yes.
Gosh.
And you are guest number 799.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope Rodney Martin is number 800. He's one of my favorite guests on this program. This gentleman is a national treasure. He's one of our things. Thank God he's on our side, because I would hate to be on the other side of Rodney.
He's a two-legged
encyclopedia of knowledge, and he is a tremendous. But then again, I enjoy most of your guests. So I'm 799. Well, I'll have to tell my wife about that.
You know, the one thing that I like about your work is that you focus on a particular thing and you cover it very comprehensively. You don't try and bring in, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. You cover it, you focus on it, and you get the job done. All right, we do have to go to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, DO, and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
The AK-47 is known for being tough and battle-ready. Now you can be battle-ready with tough tactical gear from StrikeHardGear.com. Made in the USA, StrikeHardGear.com specializes in mil-spec quality tactical gear for your AK-47, SKS Mosin-Nagant, and other Russian-style weapons. Visit StrikeHardGear.com to find chest rigs, buttstock pouches, bandoliers, shoulder bags, and other one-of-a-kind pieces of specialty gear you won't find anywhere else. Tough as nails and affordable. Buy with confidence from StrikeHardGear.com with our no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee. After that, run it hard because you're backed by a lifetime replacement warranty. Use the discount code RBN and get 5% off your order. Pull the trigger on StrikeHardGear.com today. Strike Hard Gear.
Our guest today is Thomas Goodrich. He is the author of numerous books. His website is wildwestblogcom.blogspot.com. I must ask, how did you happen to name your website Sandsex?
Well, I live on an island. I know a lot of people ask about that. I live on an island.
I mean, it conjures up all kinds of...
Quite honestly, the island I live on is nothing but sand. And I love the island life. I love sand. I love swimming and all that stuff. And so sex to me is anything you love. It's not just carnal sex. I mean, so sand sex. And it's kind of a play on words. It's alliterative, and, you know, it's kind of schmaltzy, I guess you would say. But as you can probably, if you've ever looked at the blog, and by the way, for the folks who are checking it out or will, it's not really political in nature. I do talk about some things that weigh heavy on my mind at times. But it's generally a way for me to ventilate and talk about certain things, about life in South Florida. And it's just it's a way for me to keep my hand in writing, without writing, so to speak. And so there's not much to do about sand, not much to do about sex. Occasionally I describe a bicycle wreck that I have. I seem to be on a program right now to kill myself on the bicycle. I just had one a couple of weeks ago and very nearly bought and sold the farm at the same day. I think I broke most major bones and many minor bones in my body. It seems like everything hurts to this day.
Oh, my.
So that's what that's all about, Santex.
Okay. getting back to the topic of Hellstorm, a lot of people, because of the propaganda apparatus from the Brits early on in World War One, and then the Americans, and, of course, Hollywood, people think that the Germans are the epitome of evil and that whatever happened to them was something that they deserved because of their wickedness.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's generally the lot, the fate of all losers in modern wars. The Confederacy, for example, to this day, the Southerners, the rebels who fought against the federal government, they're vilified, denigrated. The flag, of course, it's verboten to wave that thing anymore. Anyone who claims pride in their Southern heritage is called a racist, a bigot, an anti-Semitic, negrophobe. And that's even more so. In fact, magnify that by 1,000. I think you have world opinion of Germans, and mostly because of the Jewish control of the media. In 1916 and 1946, it's all the same. They still controlled the levers of communication. So they could very well call who they wanted, whatever they wanted. And in this case, the Germans, which just happened to be the strongest and most racially conscious people in all of Europe, and who refused to bow down to the world banking interests. These were the targets of the First World War. And Deanna, I'm getting off on slippery slope because this is your area, World War One especially, and the Rothschilds and the bankers. But I can, if I misspeak, please correct me. And no offense, but yes, after World War One, the Germans were cast into that dustbin of humanity. These were the people who started the war. The Versailles Treaty said that they did, so it must be so. They were strapped with these incredibly brutal peace terms that any people in their right mind would have revolted against. And, of course, when Hitler came along, they did. They wanted to break loose from the shackles of this, trying to reclaim their rightful place in Europe. And, of course, the freedom of the press, well, the press basically tore them apart again and declared war on them. The Jewish economic boycott of 1933, and then the rest is history, so to speak. It's an easy matter. In fact, that's why it's so difficult. That's why we're winning right now. Back then, when you controlled a newspaper, I mean, you controlled what people thought. In other words, and the radio. The radio was another great invention that got into the wrong hands again. And you could convince people that the Germans were monsters, that Hitler was the beast, that the Japanese were monkeys and trees, things like that, because you own the power of communication. And that's the reason now why we're winning. And I mean winning literally. We are winning this war because now, if it wasn't a white nationalist who invented the Internet, it should have been. Because now we have the power and the ability to control communication. And people like yourself are doing that. We're learning. This most recent, I know I'm getting off on a rabbit trail here, but this most recent example of Barack Obama just ready to rain down fire and death upon the Syrians, and he was just moments away from it. We all know that. Well, the Americans with a unified voice just said, no, you're not going to do this. We're tired of fighting for Israel. We're tired of fighting for wars. We're not going to do this anymore. We're broke. We're anywhere from 16 to 200 trillion in debt. Do you get it? Do you get it? We're not going to be fighting any wars. And anyway, that is because of people like yourself. It would have never happened had it been back in the bad old days of 1944, 41, 1916, when the Jews basically controlled everything we thought. Now we have the power to raise up our heads and say, no, not in our name. But unfortunately, in 1939, it was the bad old days, and the Germans could say anything you wanted against them. And of course, the powers that be did. They were transformed into from some of the most enlightened and lighthearted, I must say, lighthearted people in Europe into these ogres that you could almost not recognize if you just read the Jewish descriptions of them. In fact, my book, I start off, as you know, with some of those descriptions, Hollywood descriptions of Germans, how they've got their fat neck and their watery eyes and how they're a piggish type of people that grunt in the mud. I mean, some really despicable Semitic hatred here about the Germans. And when you're bombarded, when you're 18, 19, and you're all primed to go off to war and kill any number of bad guys, and you hear how terrible the Germans are, or the Japanese, and you're drilled, it's drilled into your head day after day, you begin to believe it, especially if you're 18, 19, 20, whatever. I remember vividly my period, the period at the time when I was that age. And I would have believed anything the government said. And so these people did. And so when they finally locked horns with the Germans, when they actually got into combat with them, when they actually won a skirmish, we have a lot of dead German bodies around there to prove the power of propaganda afterwards. A lot of the movies sanitize battles between the Americans and the Germans. But, hey, this was a massacre. This was a black flag operation, no quarter. Germans were mowed down. Unlike most battle movies of Europe between Americans and Brits and against the Germans, this was a slaughter fest, and it was all because of the propaganda and because of some of the officers. You know, really, right now the Muslims in the world that the so-called Judeo-Christian armies are fighting against. I just got into an argument with some character the other day about how they're tying in the Judeo-Christian armies now, fighting off these jihadists and Muslims. And we still are suffering through the propaganda with our troops, so-called our troops, our mercenaries, fighting in the Middle East. They are led to believe that the Muslims are the scum of the earth. And let's face it, the radicals, like any radical group of people, they are some very vicious people, but a lot of them have been turned into vicious people. They have no other way to fight. But our military right now, I'm sure once the books start being written about Afghanistan and Iraq, truthful books, we'll find out to our horror that it was just repeating World War II all over again.
Sure. And actually, the U.S. government has supplied those textbooks that turned those Afghanis into radicals. All righty, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor in about 4 minutes.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
John Statmiller here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, veteran-owned and operated.
That moment of panic, sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few thousand bucks during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Thomas Goodrich. He is the author of numerous wonderful books. His website is wildwestblogcom.blogspot.com. And today we're talking about Hellstorm, the Death of Nazi Germany, 1944 to 1947, and it came out in 2010. Just had a note from Joe, and he wants to know if you have ever investigated the Marocchi Nate. It's Italian for Moroccan deeds, and apparently during the war, in fact on May 18th, 1944, the Allies captured Monte Cassino. And the next night, thousands of gourmets, I'm probably mispronouncing that, or other colonial troops scoured the slopes of the hill surrounding the town and the villages of Chiocheria, and that's in South Latium. And they raped over 60,000 women ranging in age from 11 to 86, and they killed 800 men who were attempting to save those women. And it was illustrated in the movie Two Women with Sophia Loren.
I've heard of that. It is not in Hellstorm, but I have heard of that. And yes, that's, unfortunately, that's not an aberration. That's not an anomaly. That is occurring all throughout Europe, and especially against the Axis nations, of course, Italy and Germany and Romania and Hungary and the nations that align themselves with Germany. This is just part of the propaganda I was talking about. Anything that's of the enemy, it's yours. Like Ilya Ehrenberg said, he said, this is a Jewish propagandist for Stalin, Soviet Union. Basically, when the Red Army was just about ready to break into Germany in late 1944, Ilya Ehrenberg, the Jewish spokesman for the Red Army, told the troops with basically with pamphlets and broadsides, things like this, take the German women for your own. She's your lawful booty. Take her, amuse yourself with her, do whatever you want with her, and then kill her if you want. No problem. That's what this is about. We are there to break the racial pride of these women, of the people, and the women also, and we're going to do it. And basically, he hit the soldiers so often with that very same theme over and over and over that they actually acted upon it, of course, especially the rear echelon troops made up of Mongolians and Asiatics, the rear echelon, the second troops, the supply side, the people who drove the trucks and herded the animals. They were let loose in Germany, and millions of women were raped millions of times. There were millions of rapes, and Italy also, as this gentleman pointed out with his note to you, that occurred up and down. Rape, unfortunately, has been a weapon of war probably since the invention of war. It just seems to have gotten even more despicable in World War II. And that's the price of losing a war to worldwide Jewry. That is exactly what happened. I'd like to think that had this war been among... Well, let's put it this way. I've also written several books on the American Civil War. And nowhere, nowhere is rape that pervasive. Sure, it occurs. As Gone with the Wind made note, if you remember, Melanie Yankee rapist as he tried to attack Scarlett.
I just rewatched that movie about 2 weeks ago.
Did you? It's a wonderful movie. Margaret Mitchell was right on to it. A lot of that stuff I'm here to tell you. But it was never pervasive rape during the American Civil War because we were brothers at the time, brothers and sisters, no matter how different we were politically, philosophically. And it still was against our nature for the most part. Now, sure, it did occur. But in this World War II, that was one of the consistents. One of the consistents throughout the war was rape. And let me say this: especially the Russian troops. But you're talking about the French colonial troops, the blacks from sub-Saharan Africa, or the Gomes from Morocco. Yes, they had a vicious, nasty reputation. For the most part. They were fighting with the Allies as they came up through Italy, through the peninsula, Italy, Italian peninsula, and also in France. And according to the people, the victims who were raped, yes, they were they took rape to a new level. Another war crime, if you ask me, by bringing in these savages from these backward countries like Africa and turning them loose among the white women of Europe. That's another vicious war crime. As you know from reading the book, Deanna, there are numerous war crimes, major war crimes committed by the Allies, and this is one of them, bringing in the colonial troops. But don't forget, the good old American GI soldier chewing his gum and passing out Hershey bars, he did his fair share of raping too, let me tell you, along with the French and the British. But I've got to say, as pervasive as it was among the Americans in the West, it seemed to be nothing compared to the Red Army soldiers. They were... if you didn't rape someone, like Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, it was almost a combat distinction that you had to rape and rape again. Everything from 8 to 80. That's the age frame, 8 to 80. Can you imagine that? And I'm sure there were some children below the age of 8 and some old women above the age of 80 who were raped. You could rape them and nobody would blink an eye. Russian officers, the white Russians, the Belarus, the Ukrainian, the white Russian himself, they tried to stop this. But it's like using a thimble full of water to put out a forest fire when you've got these troops everywhere spread out over the land. The women were astounded. They thought it would be very rough when the Russians came through. They were told it would be very rough by the propaganda ministry. and they were warned to flee, but they thought they could ride it out because they just considered human nature better than it really was in this case. And when the Russians finally hit their towns, they realized that all the propaganda of Dr. Goebbels was so vastly understated that it was nothing even close to what really happened. Like wild animals running from door to door, the soldiers raped women one after another. Lines of soldiers got in line, literally, to rape a woman in her bed or on the street corner or on a park bench or up against the wall or under a tree in broad daylight, open to the public. People could see this happening. The women who had seen and heard these things going on had fled to the churches. That's the perfect place. The Jewish commissars, who were part and parcel of every outfit that came through, said, that's where we go. That's where we're going to go get our women. And that's where they led their men to rape every woman inside that church, sometimes hundreds. And that they saved the nuns for last because that was the dessert. They loved raping the nuns. If a priest got in the way and said anything, he was, he was dead. He was toast. That was it. You didn't open your trap for anything. And I can't, as you may recall from reading the book, this raping business occurs throughout the book because it occurred throughout the time frame. In other words, there isn't just one chapter devoted to the rape because it's happening all the time. And only toward the end of the book does rape, forcible, violent rape, seem to stop. But by that time, men are, the Allied occupiers are basically raping the women with a candy bar or some chewing gum or an egg or a little bit of bacon or a half a loaf of bread, and they can have all the sex they want. They'll get every woman. So it's another form of rape, but still, it's a spiritual massacre. For those women who survived the rape, and many thousands, tens of thousands did not, but for those women who did survive, it was a spiritual massacre of them, of millions of women. How does a woman recover from such a thing? Let's say she survives being raped 500 times in a month by Russian soldiers. How does she recover from this? Her husband saw it, her children saw it, everybody in the village saw her being raped in broad daylight. How does a woman get back to normal? How does she go buy her bread from the corner shop, bakery, every week, knowing that everybody saw her go through this? That's what I mean by the spiritual massacre. How does a school teacher who is forced to give an entire company of filthy, mud-spattered Russian soldiers oral sex in front of her own class of third graders, how does she go back to teaching after she's experienced this? Of course, many didn't. They killed themselves. They took gas. They cut their throats. They shot themselves in the head from a borrowed pistol. The incidents of divorce among couples, of course, of those who survived, was outrageous. It was unbelievably, it was something like only one in five couples even survived marriage after this because of terrible things. Because what does a husband do? He sees his wife raped by one man after another, and they're laughing and drinking vodka and playing accordions, and there's an officer standing by with a pistol that will blow your brains all over the wall if you get in the way. What does a man do? Does he make that symbolic gesture and try to stop it and be sawn in half like so many men were, literally sawn in half with knives?
Oh. Exactly. Thomas, we are going to a break. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Thomas Goodrich. He wrote Hellstorm, The Death of Nazi Germany, 1944 to 1947. Came out in 2010. You need to buy a copy. In fact, if you go to the schedule page, you have all of the details about how you may obtain a copy of this wonderful, wonderful book. And Thomas still has some, and he can ship them to you. He doesn't charge any shipping charge. But anyway, just go to the schedule page and all that information is there on today's date. Now, you talked about Ilya Ehrenberg, who absolutely sexualized the war, encouraged time and time again, that the Russians, the Red Army, rape as many people as they possibly could. But the U.S. government was a little bit more subtle, but it also suggested that it was okay to rape the enemy in Stars and Stripes, the military magazine that that all the troops received.
Well, I believe you. I don't recall seeing that, but I don't doubt it at all. They made a lot of other similar innuendos. And, for instance, the non-fraternization policy after the war, the dictates to the GI soldier about how he should comport himself among the defeated. I don't think there's ever been a more draconian peace in world history. Basically, the Germans were considered lower than dogs. If I didn't get out of the way. In fact, you might recall in the book, I do talk about this, and I talk about the fate of Germans. The Germans had zero when the war was over. I mean, you know, this is, again, I'm off on rabbit trails again, as I was earlier, but a lot of folks, I just saw something the other day, you know, the nonstop Jewish diatribe about the Holocaust. They drag that out every time they're getting ready to plan some new attack or crime throughout the world. I mean, on various news outlets, it's, it seems like the categories are world news, Holocaust history, Nazis, Jewish, what's going on in Israel, and then maybe we get around to some American news. But this, it was, well, I've rather lost my train of thought. I guess that was a very small rabbit trail I went down there. Can you help me get back to the main trail here, Deanna?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Now, it was humiliation and degradation, but wasn't rape also used to homogenize the European races?
That's certainly what's happening right now, I can tell you that. If there's any greater proof people need to understand just who won that war and who lost it, just go to Europe today. Every European capital and most cities look a lot like America. I mean, yeah, there is a concerted effort in Europe and in America, in my opinion, to breed us down, basically homogenize us into some sort of gray human-type life form, mongrelize us, basically. And I think we're more easily managed if we were dumbed down to that point where we're no longer white, because we are the only real, probably the only real challenge, the Jewish hegemony throughout the world right now. Perhaps the Chinese will be next on their list after the Muslims are out of the way. But, yeah, I think that's fairly accurate, what you're saying. And the Americans, they could do anything. The Germans had very little at the end of the war. And what I was driving at was the Holocaust and how people, I've had people say this, well, what a liar you are, me. Because my father saw with his own eyes the bodies at this camp or that camp when they liberated them after the war. And I try to inform these people that, hey, look, you're describing conditions in Germany in general, not just at these camps, because of the around-the-clock bombing by the U.S. Air Force and the RAF. Nothing was moving on the rails, the roads, the canals. Nothing was moving. You get it. The targets of opportunity, targets. That was another policy of the Allies. Shoot anything that moves. That means farmers in the fields, automobiles, trains full of people and children, refugees, schoolyards full of children, hospitals with crosses on them. Shoot them up. Kill them all. Basically, nothing is moving. How do you get food to the other, to the towns throughout Germany? How do you get medicine when diphtheria and typhus is spreading like wildfire? So you've got bodies outside of villages. Villages, I'm talking villages, stacked like cordwood. So, yes, her father, their fathers, who liberated these so-called death camps, they saw all sorts of terrible things. But if they had not been so selective, they would have looked around and also been aghast at what they had created themselves in Germany, not just at these camps. Of course, the camps are going to get a lot less medicine, a lot less food. These are the enemies of the Reich in there. If America was besieged similar to Germany at in 1944, if America today was besieged like that, let me tell you, it would be even worse here. I have no doubts whatsoever. In fact, there probably would be a lot fewer concentration camps because they would simply do away with us. Bloody ditches we would get. Whereas Germany, to the very end, had camps full of people, literally full of people, and lots of them were Jews, too, by the way. I've read some account, I forget which book it was, that at the end of the war there was something like 5,000 to 10,000 Jews living in Berlin alone, freely, not in jail, walking around freely. I have read that, and I forget which book it was. It wasn't something pulled out of the ozone, either. But the point is, back to the American occupation, the non-fraternization policy, and the denazification. Americans were encouraged in every way possible to drive home the defeat of the Germans, to humiliate them at every possible turn. For instance, Germans had very little in the war. I just got through mentioning that. They had very few. few clothes. Germans are extremely neat and careful about their appearance. So when a person at the end of the war had on their best and probably their only dress, like a lady going to church or going to shop, that was it. She didn't have a whole wardrobe once back home. They were stolen by the Russians or destroyed by the Americans. So what do a lot of people do? They actually, like there's a, I have this account of this Jewish major. He's being chauffeured around in a Jeep by a private, and he orders his private to hit certain ditch water to splash the people walking along the sides of the road, knowing that that's all they got, that wherever they're going or where they're coming from, they're useless right now because they're filthy with mud and all that. I think it was the same guy, loved to take this cane, the old-fashioned type cane with the bow top, bow handle, and hook people by their legs as he went by, people in nice clothes, to get them dirty and filthy. That's one way. Now, I'm not going to blame everything on the Jews. Americans, American so-called Christians did this also with a glee. In fact, there's one account of a German, young German at the end of the war who didn't get out of the way because this GI had brought his wife over for occupation. He didn't get out of the way of his wife fast enough, this GI. So the GI, in front of this large crowd, just beat the holy hell out of the guy, beating bloody. Not because he insulted the woman, not because he made a pass at her, not because he pinched her butt, nothing like that, just because he didn't get out of the way quick enough. This guy obviously was had hell on his neck, and beat him up right there in public. And one American, there were some Americans with souls and consciences at the time, by the way. One American, as I quote him, he was so ashamed that a fellow American would do something so disgusting, and nobody would step in to stop it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was quite a different story. What would happen to a German who raped somebody in, say in France?
Well, there were quite a few of them that were executed.
Yes.
There were rapes committed by Germans, but this was not the Americans or the Russians. These people had rules and laws, and you live by them, buddy. Or, yeah, I forget the exact number. I'm sure Rodney Martin will come up with that, but no doubt Germans kept tight control over their men right to the end.
Right, and they didn't do torture in the camps. They didn't rape the women prisoners in the camps. None of that occurred.
Yeah, it's one great way to destroy discipline and morale is to allow your men to become nothing but thugs. I mean, it's just human nature. It's just, at the very least, it's a selfish interest in keeping your men together. But still, they, I don't want to go too far with this because I'm not an expert in German military policy, but no.
All righty, we are going to our top of the hour break. We will be back at 6 minutes after the hour.